Looking this morning at 2 Chronicles chapter 32, an account of the reign and ministry of King Hezekiah over Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, a sermon we're preaching is a sermon that's heavily indebted to a sermon by Samuel Davies, and it's also a sermon I preached before. Let's hear God's word. And after these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib king of Assyria came, and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. And so there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance, or spears and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the streets of the gate of the city, and spoke comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, and for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the peoples rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. After this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, "Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust that you abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst, saying, 'The Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria'? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars, and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, 'You shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it'? Know you not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand?" And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel, to speak against him, saying, "As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand." And they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his own God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spoke unto him, and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him, and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, he sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death. And Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Verse 25 is our text. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up, and therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the worst tendencies of human nature is that of ingratitude, unthankfulness. It mars individuals, families, churches, and nations. We are all guilty of it, and often we do not lament it. We thank God that we stand in grace. It's clear it is a universal blight upon the human race when one so good and great a man as Hezekiah did not escape its infection. The memoirs of his life, which are notable for piety, zeal for reformation, victory over his enemies, glory and importance at home and abroad, this is recorded of him. Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Many had been the blessings and deliverances of this man's life. The Assyrians had overrun a great part of the country. They intended to lay a siege against Jerusalem and to overtake it. Their haughty king, Sennacherib, who had grown insolent with success, sent Hezekiah a blasphemous letter to intimidate him and Judah. He bullied Hezekiah. He sought to dissuade the people from trusting in God. Rabshakeh, Sennacherib's ambassador, spoke with the same impiety and insolence before the people. But then, consider the efficacy of prayer that is prayed in faith in God Hezekiah and Isaiah made their prayer to the God of Israel. They lifted up their voices and cried to heaven, to the God of Israel, concerning these threats and blasphemy. And Jehovah heard their prayers and worked a miraculous deliverance for them. 2 Kings 19, it says, that night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian troops. 185,000 generals, commanders, officers, and soldiers. Sennacherib, with the thin remains of his army, fled home in shame. And when he came home, says two sons in his own bowels, two of his own children, his sons, assassinated him in the temple of his gods at the altar. Thus, Jerusalem was freed from danger. The country was rescued from the slavery that they would otherwise have been brought into. They were rescued from the ravages of war. We find that this dreadful blow that was brought upon by God upon the Assyrians was so fatal. They had oppressed the world for so long. After this, the Medes and then other nations threw off their submission to Assyrian, and the whole empire fell to pieces, the Assyrian Empire. This is what God did to Assyria. And we see that it all started here, when they tried to attack Jerusalem, God's people. Well, certainly so magnificent a deliverance as this, carried out entirely by God's hand. Israel didn't even go out to war against Assyria. Not one of them lifted up one of those swords or spears that they had made. It's all done by God, by his angel. It was great reason for them to praise the Lord, for ardent gratitude. That's this corporate blessing, deliverance that God had given. And then a personal deliverance for Hezekiah followed this. Hezekiah was sick unto death. His sickness was terminal. Would have been unto death. Well, we know such sickness in our families. I was talking with a neighbor this morning. He mentioned that his wife was taken. He said his wife left him. At first I thought he meant she divorced him. She died of cancer. He still mourns her death. Well, Hezekiah also was sick, maybe with cancer. The Lord also, what did he do? Well, he prayed to God, and the Lord gave him recovery and added 15 years to his life. Again, another great reason for gratitude. We find that it did have this effect upon him. He sang, you see in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 19 and 20, he sang, only the living can praise you as I do today. Each generation can make known your faithfulness to the next. Think of it, he says, the Lord has healed me. I will sing his praises with instruments every day of my life in the temple of the Lord. We see that that was a temporary response. That's how the writer of the Chronicles here frames it as well. These grateful impressions wore off in time, and rather pride, that ugly spirit, began to rise. Perhaps he started thinking, wow, it's so good to follow in the ways of the Lord. It's so, what blessings come to us. You see, even our thanksgiving can actually be filled with pride. It can have the outer look of thanksgiving. We can even deceive ourselves. Think of the two men that went up to the temple that Jesus drew attention to. One was a Pharisee. What did he say? He came with thanksgiving in his heart to the Lord. What did he say? I thank you, God, that I'm not like one of these. You see how ingratitude and pride can even find its way into our thanksgiving. I thank you, God, I'm not like one of these. Even in his thanksgiving, he was lifting himself up over others. And what thanklessness that is. What pride. And perhaps Hezekiah, the same way. See what happens when we put our trust in the Lord. I don't have to die like that other man. He's dying on his bed. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Not like that. That God has changed me and I'm not like that. So thankful that as a church, we're not like those churches. You see, it can find its way into our thanksgiving in a way which we are very proud and very arrogant before the face of God. Well, this pride, this sin is not peculiar to Hezekiah, neither is the punishment. Nations and individuals have suffered in this manner from age to age. And we could honestly say that in the guilt of it, we are languishing in our country today. That we also are, that God brings scourges upon us because of our thanklessness in our country. And how much more he could bring upon us if he gave us what we deserve. And so we need to be aware of how greatly God has blessed us so that we see where and how we have been unthankful. Just think of how God's mercy has been poured upon us from all sides. It's followed us. Loving kindness of God has pursued us all our life. Blessings of a body that you have. A body that's been fearfully, wonderfully made, designed by God. Hands that you could use this morning. Hold that spoon and bring that breakfast to your mouth. Did somebody have to feed you? Or did you feed yourself? Tongues, which we can delight in the food that God gives to us. Legs, with which we can move about. Maybe depending on our age and our diseases. But nevertheless, being able to walk about. No wheelchairs here this morning. We all been able to walk. And body and minds that the Lord has given to us, which we can think. What amazing powers of the mind God has given to us. To think through and even to think God's thoughts that he has thought. He reveals his own mind and his heart to us. He gives to us his word. And we get to explore, as it were, these thoughts, this mind of God. Blessings of a large and spacious world prepared and furnished for our living, illuminated with brilliant suns and stars. Animals, vegetation, food, convenience. Families, parents, friends, children. Grandchildren, to bring back the youth in us and to speak God's grace unto. Psalmist speaks about the land of the living, doesn't he? What a blessing life is. Every day, every new day, God wakes us up, lets us look upon the world which he has made and rejoice and live happily in it. Isn't God good? And we also live in a civilized country. And think of our life here in Ontario, where the Lord has placed you and me. Not the far north, hardly any vegetation, snow covering the earth for so many months every year, darkness for 9 months or 6 months of the year, whatever it is. Not in the burning desert, hot sands under our feet. Here in Ontario. Isn't he good? And so, congregation, we are here as each one of us as testimonies to God's goodness toward us, to his generosity, and also to many acts of deliverance. Just think of all the wars that has happened. We're going to have Remembrance Day soon. Be called to remember the deliverances that God has given to us through these great world wars. How good he has been. And then also to consider the saving and the covenant mercies of our God. He's opened up to us through his word this everlasting covenant of grace with us, revealing to us, even telling us that he has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we would be his children, and that he would be ones upon whom he would reveal his love toward us. And he would be the ones to whom he would send his son, and for whom his son would die, would shed his blood in order to take our sins upon himself, so that he might free billions from condemnation and secure for them eternal life. And he holds that before us. There's so many surprises that are yet to come before us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard these things that God is treasuring up for us. And yet at the same time, he also has told us of these things so that we can live in expectancy of him. And he's also given to us himself. He's given to us his Spirit, who is our counselor and our comforter. He indwells believers. He convicts us of our sins, the sin of ingratitude too, in order to bring us to life and to righteousness. What a good God. The Spirit raises us from our death and from our sin to live a life of resurrection. And he is a guarantee of this glorious inheritance that is yet coming for us. You see, surely God's love to you is unbounded, limitless, wide and deep as the ocean, and eternal. Now compare that with our thankfulness to him. God, in his grace, constantly is giving to us these blessings. And he's not doing so mindlessly. He is all knowledge. And he's omnipotent. He's powerful. And he's able to deal with each creature individually, with each one of us. And so each of these blessings that he gives to us, which we cannot even possibly count. Count your many blessings. Well, it's good that we should do so, but we can't do so. But he intentionally, deliberately blesses us every single day, every single moment. The breath that you are breathing right now, and the enemies that he's holding back, he's deliberately doing so, even though we mindlessly receive these blessings. What a Father of all mercy and of grace. Now we look at the wretchedness here of Hezekiah's lack of gratitude toward God. God had given to him this extraordinary deliverance, and Hezekiah does not give sufficient praise and thanks. In other words, he turns so quickly, he forgets what God has done for him. And not just that, he turns to pride. Where does this ingratitude lead him? We see it goes hand in hand with pride. A haughty spirit that did not praise God. He does not give credit to God. What does he do? He shows off as if it's due to himself, due to his own efforts. He shows off his gold and oil and spices and whatever else. See how I have treasured these, built these things up. See how God has given these things to me, and but look what I've done. I built storehouses for them. It's amazing. Look, yeah. See where a little bit or a lot of wisdom gets you. Actually, we're doing quite well. Look at this gold. Look at the silver. Look at all these things. Look at how I managed my house. He shows off to the Babylonian diplomats. See how I've worked hard and how I can enjoy. I can enjoy this. See how I studied hard. That's why I got the results here on this test. See how, yeah, we've sought to honestly and fervently and to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. Now blessed with these children, or a couple children anyways, that walk in the ways of the Lord. That is true. There's truth in that. But where does it come from? God is the author of these blessings. God is the giver of all these rich things. God gives these things to us through many different avenues and through many different conveyances. But it all comes ultimately from the Lord. The test scores you receive, the grandchildren the Lord has given to you, the home in which you live in, it all comes from the Lord. The friendships that you've worked on and you continue to work on, those to whom you've witnessed and perhaps they've come to the Lord, it's all due to God and His grace working through you, giving these things through you and through others unto you. But if we will lift up our hearts and pride to the Lord and take credit for these things before God, what is the result? Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And some of your own sons who shall be born to you shall be taken away, and there they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." This stands as a warning. Indeed, we know that there's so much grace, and even in this judgment that God brought, He did not utterly cut off His blessings to Israel. Some of these eunuchs were Daniel and his three friends. I mean, servants in the house of the king of Babylon. We see that thankfulness is the appropriate, the necessary response for us to give to the Lord God who has blessed us. Thanksgiving unto Him, that's pleasing to Him. But ingratitude, it's not just a sin. It is that. It's a wretched sin. But it's a dangerous sin as well. It leads us into further sin. It leads us to pride, to lifting up ourselves over others, to breaking relationships off then with others. It contaminates our relationships and our fellowship. And it also brings within us ultimately bitterness and discontent with what God has given to us. It will lead us to be discontented with our spouses, discontented with the children and grandchildren that God has given to us, discontented with our house and our estates that God has given to us, discontented with the church that God has given to us, discontented with the nation and the country and the whole living situation that God has given to us, discontented even with God Himself. Are you thankful for what God has given to you? In your family, in your marriages, with your children, with your grandchildren. Are you thankful for what He's given to you in the church, in your work, with your health? What we should be discontent with is the level of thankfulness that we give to God. Just imagine if Hezekiah had remained thankful when those unbelievers had come. What kind of report would he have given then? This was shame on the name of the Lord. Is this the work of God and his people? Hezekiah should talk in such a way as an arrogant jerk? What if he had instead said, all these things come from God. I deserve nothing. But God has redeemed me from my sin. I was a rebel. He made me a king. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Then they would not be leaving thinking, what a miserable character this Hezekiah is. But they'd be thinking, whoever this Hezekiah is, his God is great. And Hezekiah would still be considering his undeservedness and God's great mercy. And he'd be filled with love before the Lord and happiness and joy living before him. But praise God that God is yet so gracious. God delays this judgment. God makes it clear, Hezekiah, you live under my grace. It continues to shower down blessings upon him for the rest of his life and upon the people. He's honored in his burial. Oh, how gracious God is to us even when we do not even acknowledge his grace. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What will you give to the Lord? What will you say to God when you go to bed tonight? When you gather with your children, with your grandchildren at the table, a table spread out with God's blessings. Or when you gather with your wife or with your husband, or when you sit alone at your table this evening. God has been good to me. You ever think about that when you can't sleep at night? Go through, catalog God's blessings. It helps. It helps in the fight against sin. It also helps to fill the heart with thanksgiving to God, with joy, with praise, with happiness. Samuel Davies ended his sermon abruptly, leaving his hearers with this sentence. Oh, the amazing, horrid, base, unprecedented ingratitude of man. And oh, the amazing, free, rich, overflowing, infinite, unprecedented goodness of God. Let these two miracles be the wonder of the whole universe. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, hallelujah. We praise you, O God. You are so good to us. Lord, we ought to praise you not just because of what you have done to us, but of who you are. We acknowledge that because of our selfishness, because of our sin, we would never know who you are if it were not what you have done for us. We thank you for all that you have done for us and continue to do for us. And Lord, may we continue to praise you for the great God that you are. All blessings be to you. We praise you, our God. We bless your name and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.